You have your Bibles, Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says, beginning in verse 1 through 4, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of his sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together. Lord, I do pray now that you would bless, guide, and direct in the service today. I pray that you'd bless your word. We pray if there's one here lost, they'd be saved. And then, Lord, again, we thank you for those of us who are saved. Lord, we know where we're going, have eternal life, and I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and bless in a very special way. And we'll thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. The greatest thing that ever happened to me, other than being born, I was glad I was born, but the greatest thing that happened to me was I was born again. Came to the point in my life, I realized I was lost, I needed a Savior, put my faith and trust in Him. He saved my soul, gave me eternal life. The Bible, the songwriter wrote, he said, "What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." And truly today, not that I've always lived exactly the way I should live, but thank God, by the grace of God, we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace, and God in His grace will forgive us as we walk through this life. I believe a saved person will act differently. I believe they'll walk differently. I believe they'll talk differently. In fact, I believe they'll be different in every conceivable way. I've seen many people be saved, and boy, what a change comes in their life when they get born again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What a wonderful thought. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in a believer's life, He comes to abide with that new believer. Not only is He abiding, but He's abiding forever. He's given you eternal life. In John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." When the Spirit of Christ comes into a person, into their life, it changes things forever. He's there to stay. And I believe today that we need to understand, that we need to realize that no place we ever go that He does not go with us. Never a place that we go or do or things we do that He's not right there. So we ought to be mindful of the fact that Christ is in us. In the first chapters of the book of Romans that we spent a lot of time, the Word spent a lot of time as it was written to us, giving us some details about talking about sinners. Now today all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all of us have sinned. But in first seven chapters, He talks about sinners. He talks about our judgment. And friend, today if you don't know Christ, there is judgment. And if you don't know Christ, there is condemnation. And if you don't know Christ, there is the wrath of God. Can I say to you this morning, Christ is a Christ of love, and He loves you. But if you don't turn to Him and get saved and accept Him, then you'll die in your sin and spend eternity separated from God. The book of Romans made it clear that you cannot save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. Listen, we can go to church, we can do all kind of religious works, we can even lead Bible studies, teach Sunday school, or sing in the choir, but it's no guarantee we're going to get to heaven. We're only going to get there through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Romans reveals to us that salvation is a product of God's grace and God's grace alone. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And truly today, we don't need to think that we can get to heaven. I think how even a preacher, I mentioned the choir, the Sunday school teacher, but even a man can be a preacher, die in his sins, and go to a devil's hell. This chapter is all about life in the Spirit. He teaches us about the Christian life, so distinctive. It ought to be different than any other thing on the planet. In verses 13 through 25, and I'm not going to read those in chapter 7, Paul talks about the struggles we have in the flesh. Now, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. and took up residence in my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, it doesn't mean we're still living in an old sinful world, and the old flesh is going to come and work on us in so many ways to get us to turn away from God. We desire to live a holy life, but oftentimes we don't live a holy life the way we should. I'm grateful today that God put a little verse in the Bible that said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you, none of us today deserve to go to heaven. None of us today deserve to be saved. But thank God our merciful, caring, graceful God has saved us, give us eternal life, and He's there for us at all times. This is a common problem with all believers. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 5:17. He said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." This is Paul writing. And he's telling you, getting saved and becoming a child of God, there's going to be some battles. The devil is going to work on you and try to destroy you and get you to do things that you should not do. And that's why you've got to be sure that you're filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where is the excess, but be filled with the Spirit, in order that the Spirit of God might work in us. Now, we all have a sin nature, and when we allow sin to flourish in our life, problems begin to come along our way. In Romans 6:23, the Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You say, well, everybody's going to die. That's not the death He's talking about here. He's talking about eternal death. He's talking about when death comes, your eyes close, and the last breath you breathe. That's going to be the death He's talking about. But the Bible said the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know, boy, I get excited every time I read the Bible and see what God said. In fact, Paul, in the close of chapter number 7, and I'm going to get the message in a minute, but in verse number 24, you know what Paul said? He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." You know what he was saying? He said, he called himself wretched. To be honest with you, all of us are wretched. I remember we sing the song at Calvary, and it says, "A sinner such as I." And I think one verse says, "A worm such as I." Somebody said, "You ought to get a song, but don't have worm in it." Well, that's about what we are. We're wretched. We're lost. We're without Christ. But yet Paul said, "Listen, I thank God. Listen, through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul says Jesus is our way of escape. Thank God today somebody said, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." No, I don't, but I know what I go through. And I know the devil wants to do everything he can to destroy my life, my testimony, and my message. But I tell you tonight, or this morning, I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I have a God that promised that He would never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm grateful today that He is my escape from sin. You say, well, I just can't help myself. I believe this. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That brings us to Romans chapter 8, where we get my message. And don't panic, I won't be long, but if you'll listen quickly, I'll speak quickly. But Paul wants us to know that we're all sinners. Friend, today, even if you're saved, we're going to sin. We shouldn't sin willfully. We should not sin knowingly. We should not sin out of convenience, but we ought to do the best we can to live a life that would be pleasing to God because He's blessed us. But here's what I want you to see. This is a shouting verse right here. The Bible said in verse number 1 of our text, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I walked through this. I'm glad to know today that there's no condemnation. I can stand here today, and I don't say it proudly or boastfully, but I say it by the grace of God, that what God has done for me, I have no condemnation. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took my hell for me, and I know today that I'm not going to hell. You said, how do you know that? I know it because He said He gave me eternal life. I tell you, I'm not real smart, but I learned a long time ago eternal life is forever. And I realize we may sin, but I'm glad we have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ to give us what we need. Condemn no more. I want to show you some of the blessings of these verses quickly with three things, maybe four, but I share with you what he said today. The verse number one, sin's sentence is gone. Sin's sentence is gone. Condemnation carries the idea of a damning sentence. It would be like going before the judge. You'd done something, and he sentenced you to death, or he sentenced you to prison. When we were born in this world, we were sentenced to death, separated from God because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. And yet the only way we can get by that is put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, when we got saved, when we got freed, there's no divine warrant for our arrest. Amen? They not coming to arrest me because, listen, I do not face that condemnation. There's no charges against us. The wrath of God has been averted from us, and we are free today in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're saved, we're delivered from the wrath of God. I mentioned already, I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm telling you, God's a God of love and a God of wrath. He's a just God, a mighty God. He's a God that is going to give us exactly what we need, whether we like it or whether we don't. It makes no difference. But today, God is a God of love. He loves everyone. He died for everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you do, Jesus is the one that makes the difference. The songwriter said, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. I'm glad today that as He walks with me and talks with me, He does tell me I'm His own. Listen, you can be in church and die lost. You know that? You can be a good neighbor and die lost. But when you have Jesus in your heart, you're saved from the judgment of sin, you're saved from the wrath of God, and you're saved from the eternity of hell. In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore, listen, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for you. I tell you today, I told you a while ago, we all are going to sin. But thank the Lord Jesus today is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's pleading our case, and we go to Him in forgiveness, and He gives us the forgiveness that He tells us He will. In John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, here it is again. Can't get away from it. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Had a fellow one day said, well, you know, you can't know whether you're going to heaven to that day, whether you make it or not. I tell you, I found out a long time ago I'm going to heaven because I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved, and I know that there's therefore no condemnation. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. In 1 Peter 1, verse 5, he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, Jesus is the only refuge for our soul. He's the only one to go to in the hour of our need. Jesus is the only safe harbor where we find salvation, the only place we find forgiveness, the only place that we find hope, and the only place we find everlasting life. I report to you today, in Him, all those things exist. And that's who we go to. I was reading a book this week about a young man, and he said he had no hope. But when he found Jesus, he had hope, because Jesus is the hope of the world and the only hope we have. Note the phrase, if you would, in those verses there in chapter 8. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The last phrase of verse number 8. But those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, some see this as a conditional statement. In other words, we face no condemnation as long as we're walking in the Spirit. These people would have you believe the moment we fail to live a perfect life, we fall from grace and lose our salvation. Friend, what kind of God would that be? To love us enough to give His life for us. But you tell me His blood is not able to save me for all eternity? I'm glad today to know that I've been saved by the grace of God, and I've been saved forever. You said, but preacher, there's people do bad things. Yes, they do, but they can get forgiven for it. But the truth of it is, if they're saved, they're saved. Now, genuinely saved. And let me put a little note in here. There's a lot of people that say they're saved that aren't saved. And there's a lot of people, I believe, that they go through life, and honestly, you can see it in their life or not see it in their life. I've had people tell me, well, since I'm saved, I can do what I want to do. I can sin. I just ask God to forgive me. If you got that attitude, I doubt very seriously you've been saved and born again. If God saved you, you ought to love Him enough and respect Him enough and care enough for Him that you'd live the best you could along the way. This is not a conditional statement. It's a statement of fact. Paul is saying those who trusted in the Lord walk under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And if they're walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, they will not be directed or led by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God which exists in them. This verse simply reminds us that we'll lose our battle here and there with the flesh, but Jesus Christ, I'm glad, has already won the war. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, believers are not victims. We're victors. I tell you today, I'm thankful today that we're victors in Christ. Let me move quickly. Sin's sentence is gone. Verse 2, sin's slavery is gone. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, this identifies, according to the Bible, the lost sinner is under the control of three masters. He's under his control, according to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, the flesh, the world, and the devil. By the way, that's two great forces coming against you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I tell you today, somebody said, well, I know a man, he's a good man. He'd never do that. I'm telling you, the flesh is weak. And you better be sure that you're walking in the Spirit of God and God is communing with you and you're doing what He would have you to do, because the devil will get control of your life if you don't. He said, how can he get control of your life if you indwelt with the Spirit? Well, again, I believe there's a thing about being filled with the Spirit and having the Spirit. I believe there's a lot of people that have the Spirit, but they're not filled with the Spirit. And if you're just have the Spirit, you're going to be tempted, and there's going to be things that's going to come your way to try to trip you and make you fall. But these three evil influences will affect us in different ways. The lost sinner who lives lives of unspeakable wickedness and evil. Other lost people are mentioned, or church members, good upstanding citizens, good neighbors. They love their families. They work hard. They pay the taxes. They vote. They do good deeds for others. I was talking to a lady one time at the place I worked when I was in Bible school. And I was talking to her about salvation. And I said something. I was telling her what I believed about a person being saved. And boy, she got mad. She got mad. She pointed her finger in my face. She said, let me tell you something. My mother is the best person you'll ever meet. She'd give you anything you wanted. She'd give you the meal off the table. She'd give you all that. And that's wonderful. I mean, a lot of our mothers was that way. And if your mother was that way, you ought to thank the Lord for them. But their relationship with Christ makes a difference of whether you go to heaven or not. Just not mothers, but anybody today. You can be good, upstanding, but nobody goes except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way we can come to Him. When Jesus saves a soul, He changes everything. Romans 6, verse 7 and 8, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Isn't that good? He's talking about the lost people, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Yeah, you're not going to sin, I guess, if you're in the grave or in hell. But in verse 8, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. I know I'm going to live with Him. I tell you, I'm looking forward to that day. Again, I tell people I enjoy life, enjoy being with my family. I'm not necessarily ready to go today, but if the Lord's ready, I'm ready, because I know where I'm going. Romans 6, verse 11 through 14, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. In other words, if we're saved, sin is not going to have dominion over us. And it's not because of the law, but it's because of grace. He said in verse 17 and 18, but God be thanked that we were servants of sin, but we obeyed, listen, we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. That's a glorious truth. If you're saved, you've been delivered from the slavery of sin. And the key to it is walking a life of freedom in Jesus Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said over in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Praise God today, sin's sentence is gone. Thank God today, sin's slavery is gone. I'm not the only slave I am today is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said often, I am a slave, and that's exactly what we were. And then Luke number 3, sin's sickness is gone, verse 3 and 4. Again, I'll look at it in just a minute, but he said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the world. This is how Jesus described the condition of the lost. In Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Ephesians 2:1, he you had quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin. When a person is sick, they normally go to the doctor. Or some people try all kind of remedies. You know, I've heard old wives' tales and things about things that work, and there's all kinds. And some of them work. They do. Some of them don't. But yet, if we're sick, we try to go get help. And today, if you've never been saved, you're sin sick. You're in your sin, and you need to be saved by the grace of God. People get to that point, and they try everything except the great physician. They try good works, religion, church attendance, turn over a new leaf. But in verse 3, he said the cure for the terrible sin is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You remember the words Jesus said on the cross as he hung there? The last thing he said was, it is finished. What's finished? Salvation's plan is finished. Those whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved in him. What the law could not do to point of how sinful men really are. Romans 7, verse number 7. You probably have that open where you can see it. But he said in that verse, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? He said, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The reason the law cannot save us is because nobody keeps the law. Somebody say, well, the Ten Commandments. Do you keep the Ten Commandments? I hate to tell you, but you can't keep the Ten Commandments. You say, well, excuse me, I think I can. You may think you can, but I'm going to tell you, if you come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then you don't live for him the whole time you're out, then obviously you broke the commandment of I will not lie, because you have. I could take every one of them this morning. I'm not going to do it, but I'm telling you, there's none of us. And by the way, I'm not saying the law is not good. In fact, it's called the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's used to help us get to where we need to be. But keeping the Ten Commandments of the law is not going to get you to heaven. Friend, Jesus Christ's blood would be of no effect if that be the case. The reason the law cannot save, because no one can keep it. He said, for whoso, listen, James, here it is right here. Not take it from James. He said, James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And I tell you today, again, I preached a message one time on the Ten Commandments. I don't have time to do that today. But while the law cannot save the soul, the law succeeds in revealing sinfulness for our sin and our need for a Savior. Jesus Christ came to do what the law could never do. Christ died. I don't know, I'm getting excited. Easter's coming up. We put out our cross early, the man that built it. We just had his funeral last week, and he was a real blessing to our church. And we use that every Easter. So we put it out. I said, just leave it up to Easter to remind us. And by the way, it's not the cross we worship, but it's the Jesus that was on the cross that we put our faith in. And truly today we see who he is. Christ died, he rose again. He provided a cure for the sickness of sin. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. When Jesus died, God did more than just pronounce judgment on sin. God fully and finally charged sin in the body of his Son. Jesus took our sin. He became sin for us. He never sinned, but he took our sin. That boggles my mind. He made him to be, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then in verse 4, it gets better. He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's basically saying that we, which are in Jesus, the whole righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. That's what it said. You read it when you get home, but that's what it said. According to the Word of God, when a lost sinner trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're made right with God. I tell you, they don't deserve it. And I tell you, when God looks down, he's not going to see this old sinful body. He's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied. When I put my faith and trust in him, we're declared righteous by God's sovereign decree. We're declared to be as holy as if we'd never sinned. And we'll never sin again. He said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're living in some wicked days. There's so much happening, it's almost nerve-wracking to go outside the house. We trust the Lord and know that he's in control. But I tell you today, there's for the child of God, there's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace that comes by knowing him. When God sees you, he sees you not like you used to be. Not what you used to do, but he sees you as righteous in the sight of God because you trusted him. We're justified through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, by the saving work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And in Jesus Christ, we're made exactly what we should be, to be pleased in the Lord. In the Spirit, we're enabled to live a new life for the glory of God. In closing today, Jesus delivers his people from sentence, slavery, and the sickness of their sins. He sets them free from the old life of death and deception, depravity, and doom. And he gives them a new life in the Spirit of God. In Jesus, we are condemned no more. I'm glad today, if you ever been saved, you're condemned no more. I tell you, I know a lot of people go through life and they say, I don't believe all that. Well, I tell you what, you're going to believe it when you die. And I don't say that in a laughing way. I say that in a sad way. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I had a friend, he was out witnessing one day, and a guy told him, he said, I just don't believe all that. I just don't want to do it. And here's what my friend told him. He said, had you rather accept Christ and find out that it's not true, or had you rather die and go to hell and find out that it's not true? In other words, weighing them out, he's going to find out that both of them are true. And it's only where he's chose to go that it'll be tested. If you've ever tasted the Lord's salvation, he's changed your life. Give him the honor, glory, and praise that he so deserves. Friend, today, I'm condemned no more. What a blessing. I was thinking about seeing being baptized here today, and I just thought about the blessed thought of no condemnation to them who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're human. We're not perfect. But thank God his grace is perfect, and his blood is sufficient to save our soul. Our Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to be in the house of God. What a joy it is to preach a message like this, simply because we know there is hope. We know there is eternal life. Lord, we know today that we've been delivered from the sin, deception of the world. And I pray today that you would bless this invitation. Lord, I don't know, but I thank the Lord for those that are here. But if there's one here that does not know thee as their Savior, Lord, today I pray that they would let go and let God have his way in their life. They might respond to the invitation. Let somebody take the Bible and show them how they can be saved. And Lord, everybody can walk out of this building where there's no condemnation upon them who have believed in him. Have your will and way, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke to your heart this morning, we invite you to come. allow God to speak to your heart. If we can help you, we'd be glad to help you any way we can.